history. It was recorded $532 million in the opening weekend, which surprisingly beat out Disney's Star Wars Force Awakens at $529 million. So that's just props to Vin Diesel for keeping that going.
Proof.
That's amazing that they have 8 or 9 of those movies still going on.
Proof positive that the world is getting dumber.
Definitely.
And then last news of the day, let's keep it topical. In light of yesterday, obviously being Easter, happy Easter to everyone. I want to give a shout out to the Easter Bunny in Kalen, Texas, for giving a unique performance of skydiving into the town of Kalen, Texas, and handing out candy and eggs to the kids of Kalen, Texas. You know, most egg-laying Easter bunnies, you know, are super boring and super lazy.
Yeah.
Shack up at the malls, the local malls, and wait for you to come to them. Not the Kalen, Texas Easter Bunny. So, big shout out to Kalen, Texas and their Easter festivities.
All right. That was the news. Thank you, John. That was well done, sir. Let's get back to the NBA playoffs, and then we'll kind of hit a bunch of rapid-fire topics. I did want to talk about the Warriors.
Don't. Let's just leave it. Let's just leave it. All right, next topic. All right.
The Warriors really... The Warriors and Blazers played game one yesterday.
Dame Dollar
was going crazy in his hometown
of
Oakland. CJ McCollum was having a hell of a game, and the Warriors just turned up the defense in the fourth quarter, led by Draymond Green. And the game was tied at halftime and the third going into the fourth. The Warriors just stepped up that defense and went on runs that we've been used to seeing this current construction of the Warriors go on the last 3 years. Draymond Green in the last two playoff games, so this is game 7 and game 1, has gone for 51 points, 27 rebounds, 18 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks, and his defense was really kind of what turned the game yesterday, I thought. He just had a great block there that the Warriors actually didn't capitalize on because I think Clay was drunk the night before or something because he played awful for the most part. But there was that. He got another block on McCollum, I think it was. It went out of bounds. And just had some really big moments defensively that I thought really got the Warriors out and running and opened that game up. And so, I did want to talk about this because my buddy informed me of this and I couldn't believe it when he told me this. The Warriors are 20,001 odds to win.
Technical difficulties.
So there's that. I have no idea what just happened.
Anyway,
there's some type of something going down.
Yeah, I think there might be a fire alert, emergency alert, something like that.
Should we be worried?
We don't care. We're just going to keep spitting new stats for you guys. That's how much we're dedicated to this.
going back to the Warriors, I believe I was last talking about
odds of winning this series.
Yeah, 20,001. So, I mean, for any gambler, you need to put $10 down on the Blazers.
Just for the hell of it.
Chance someone gets hurt. You never know. I mean, Damian Lillard averages 55 in the series. You never know. You know, I mean,
55 for the series.
What did Lillard say? Portland in six.
In six, so they got to win 4 of the next 5.
He unfairly got that, though. They asked him a question. They said, you guys going to win in 6 or 7? He just said 6 for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't put much stock into it.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to say? Well,
we're going to lose. We're probably going to
We might take one at home.
Yeah, we're probably losing 5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that first half, you know, CJ McCollum and Lillard combined for, I think, 50 in the first half. So that's definitely a scary notion. You got to definitely have to lock that up in the second game here.
Finishing with the combined 75.
Jeez. Yeah, they went off.
And they got smacked, though. And they lost by almost, 15?
Yeah, 12. That's 11 or 12.
Yeah, that's not looking very good going forward.
No, I thought that they really needed to keep that one close. I don't know that how much momentum really plays any factor moving forward. But I thought for just the psyche, because the Warriors have been this juggernaut all season, that you kind of really needed to see that game end up within 5 or so to feel like, okay, we really got a chance. So we'll see. The Blazers, obviously, didn't have the best season coming in as an 8 seed, but they're always deadly when you have Dame Dalla and McCollum in the backcourt. Real quick, does Evan Turner have the most punchable face in the NBA?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I want to look like...
He doesn't have a good jump shot,
He had the ugliest jumper in the league.
He has a terrible-looking jumper. Lonzo Ball will be here soon enough, so he'll
Sean Marion. He just took the cake from Sean Marion.
Yeah. Sean Marion used to hit.
Yeah, he did. But Evan Turner just has a very, very punchable face to me. And again, I'm not saying I would ever punch him. I just think he has a punchable face. He would beat me up. Obviously, he's huge. But he has a punchable face. That's all I wanted to say on Evan Turner. But I did want to mention a couple quick things. Still Warriors-related. Sorry, Jordan.
Talk about the chef.
We'll get there. We'll go there right now. So Marcus Thompson, writer for the, is it the San Jose Mercury? I think it's San Jose Mercury News. He just came out with a book called Golden. I don't have it in front of me ever. But it's basically a book about Steph Curry. And the big revelation that a lot of people are talking about is how in this book, he mentioned that Steph Curry is no longer well-received by his peers. Directly calling out players like Chris Paul.
Light Skin Privilege is the name of that article, by the way, right?
Light Skin Privileges, right, which is something I could speak on personally. But you've mentioned guys like Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, LeBron James, and several others who really don't like Steph Curry. And part of the argument was the whole light skin privilege aspect. And if you guys, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about when we're talking about light skin, we mean light skin black guys.
Russell Westbrook isn't light skin.
No, he's not.
No, yeah, I'm just saying. This is like people outside. I was like, oh.
Gotcha.
Westbrook isn't light skin. He's pretty black.
So Steph Curry obviously is considered by his peers as being a light skinned guy. And part of the
waffle colored Negroes was what they call them. waffle colored Negroes is the term we use.
But part of the issue there is obviously he grew up much different. But let's talk about the light skin thing, because I've had to face this myself. People automatically assume you're soft if you're light skinned. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but that is a stereotype, and I faced it many years, and I think that's why I worked so hard playing basketball and football, is because I just wanted to kill people, because everyone just thought I was going to be really soft, and so that's why I trained so hard to learn how to dunk and all that stuff. So I could feel it. I feel where Steph Curry's coming from, where he's like, yo, well, I'm just come out and dominate then, if that's how y'all are going to feel about me. And I don't know how much it has to do with that or the fact that Steph Curry, I mean, look at how LeBron grew up. LeBron was raised by a 16-year, or his mom had him at 16, obviously in the hood, came from poverty, where Steph Curry, light skin, comes from a religious background, comes from a place of privilege because his dad, Delp, obviously played in the NBA for years and years and years. Obviously, too, a interesting point that I thought Thompson brought up in this article was the fact that Steph didn't play in the AAU circuits. He didn't know a lot of these guys. He played high school ball and, played summer league with his high school squad. He didn't make the AAU circuits. And then again, he wasn't highly recruited, so he didn't go to a major D1 school where he was playing, other lottery picks every night.
Yeah, for sure.
Where, if you go to Kentucky, Kansas, those major schools, Duke, you're in the ACC or something like that, you're playing, once a week, you're playing another potential lottery pick. So there's a lot of reasons, and I just wanted to get your take, Jordan, we'll start with you, about this hate. Do you think it's jealousy? Do you think it's the light-skinnedness? Do you think it's a combination of some of these things?
So big shout-out to Marcus Thompson. I have read some of your articles before. They usually are pretty dope. I have not got a chance to peep that one, so I do need to check it out.
Oakland native Marcus Thompson.
Yeah, I don't think it's a light-skinned thing per se. I think that aspect of it is a little bit overblown. But I do feel you on this fact that, there is a slight resentment there just for the fact that, it's like a random guy, you've been going to this park or you've been going to this place where everybody sees you your whole life. And then all of a sudden this new guy just kind of comes on the scene and then he's just the best player. He has all the commercials. He's making more money than you. You know what I'm saying? You're like, whoa, who is this random guy? You know? And
yeah.
Now he's the best shooter in the world, and everybody's on his, you know, jock and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like you are used to getting that praise, and now there's somebody almost stepping over you for what you feel like you deserve.
Yeah.
James Harden, especially, like, with the MVP, because I feel like one of those 2 years Steph got it, he should have got it.
So. Yeah, I mean, I could see an argument for it. Last year, because Steph was insane.
But the year before, he could have got it.
The year before, there was an argument to be made, for sure.
Yeah, not last year. Yeah, last year was Steph was on another planet. Yeah. But
I think in some regard, too, you kind of see the sense a little bit, from what I kind of see the perspective of, is kind of the same thing that kind of Tim Tebow kind of went through. Not necessarily through a racial and skin tone kind of thing, but just through his kind of upbringing, like you said, you know, being that he comes from a really religious background.
Sure.
That's really unfamiliar to that scene of basketball, to that, you know, to that media, to that media outlet. So I feel like a lot of people are kind of seeing him as not the stereotypical prototype of the face of basketball, right, like how it always has been. So I feel like a lot of people are weirded out and challenged by that religious factor and how open he is with
it. No, I think that's a good point. I also think it's kind of strange because we're not used to the superstar coming from privilege. Oftentimes I found in a creative industry or in a industry like professional sports, oftentimes that drive, that work ethic, that creativity comes from a place of struggle, comes from a place of just having to overcome. So that's why I believe you see so many of our athletes coming from, and on both sides, I'm not talking about just white or black, I'm talking about everyone. Oftentimes they come from poorer backgrounds, you know, even like Larry Bird, he came from a farmhouse and playing on dirt and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like, I think personal trauma and struggle oftentimes leads to a desire and a drive to overcome, and is often where that comes from. Well, Steph would have been straight if he never played a day in the NBA because his dad played in the league. You know, he came from some money. So I think that's part of it. I think the religious aspect is part of it. And to your point, Jordan, when you see this guy who just a few years ago was, well, you know, he's good and hopefully he develops into an all-star one day to...
He's the best player in the world, considerably.
And it happened almost overnight. It happened within the course of a season. They lose in Game 7 to the Clippers 1 year. The next year, he's the MVP, and they're winning a championship.
Like, just an example, just, like, think of how long LeBron had to be, like, in the conversation before he was really just bona fide the best player in the world.
Agreed.
LeBron was damn near 30 before everybody was like, all right, LeBron, you're the best player in the world, hands down.
But people argued that LeBron was going to be the best player in the world when he was 16 years old.
Because it was warranted hype, though.
Sure.
You know, this is the best player in the world. This man is 6'8 at the age of 16, 6'8 to 40. So it's like who else deserves that type of hype?
Right.
So I don't know, man. It's very interesting.
Well, it's weird, too, because you see, like you said, with the AAU circuit and everything, you see all these guys coming through and playing, you know, 6 days a week with five different teams and doing all these crazy things to get noticed. And it's kind of a perspective that you look at, you know, with Curry, at least, you can say, like, oh, well, you know, he came from privileged background. He had, you know, he had all these advantages. He had all the money to throw into these, you know, but you didn't see him in those kind of circuits, like some of these impoverished kids coming up that are doing all that. I mean, they still find the way to get out there to, you know, get their hustle, to get, to get noticed. So,
yeah. Completely agree.
I just think the path he took is just uncomfortable for a lot of people, and you know, it's easily rejected.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think you both bring up really, really good points there. Same with the Warriors for one last second. Sorry, Jordan. Mm. Again, the San Jose Mercury News recently had an article entitled "But We Believe Warriors Relive Rollicking Hoops Ride 10 Years Later." Another Marcus Thompson piece. So again, big shouts to Marcus Thompson. He's doing big things. But this article's great. That was my favorite team of any team of all time, even though they didn't win a championship. I never felt more connected to a team because this was a group, if you'll remember, of a lot of outcasts and misfits. Matt Barnes, Monte Ellis, Steven Jackson, all these guys that just were kind of cast off in other places came together and just balled out that year and ended up defeating the number one ranked team in the West.
Mavericks.
Yeah, the Mavs, who were a 67-win team. And Dirk Nowitzki had to receive his MVP from home, which was kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That was the year I became a Warriors fan right there, my junior year of high school right
really?
There. Yeah, the We Believe. That was my first NBA game I ever went to, was that We Believe game six.
Oh, so, dope. Okay, was a hell of a game to go to.
Yeah.
That's like I said, that's my favorite team of all time. Just those characters were so crazy. Baron Davis, they were so great. And they just felt so authentically Oakland. And there's a bunch of stories you could read on the We Believe Warriors for hours. But one real quick one that I want to read here, this will only take me a couple seconds, is about Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, after being ejected in Game 2 loss, I'm reading from the San Jose Mercury News, Marcus Thompson piece, was all smiles walking to the team bus after all the Warriors had gotten the split that they had wanted and the probable first-round playoff appearance. And post-game basketball was headed back to Oracle for the first time in 14 years. Jackson had to walk past a lounge full of Mavericks fans in the bowels of the arena. They pounded on the glass and windows and taunted him and jeered him as he walked by. Jackson then stopped in front of the window and dropped his bag. He pulled out a wad of cash, held it up like a cheeseburger, pulled out his diamond necklace in his other hand with his thumb, said, "But I'm rich, bleep." He said with a huge smile on his face, bobbed his head to the music he was listening to, picked up his bag, and walked off. Someone also called Steven Jackson a bum a few weeks prior, and Steven Jackson went to the locker room, came out with, I believe, $15,000 in cash, and threw it at the guy, which is just so dope.
So baller. So cool.
I mean, it's not behavior I would encourage, but if a friend of mine did it and they had the money to blow like that, I would think it was baller.
I would tell that story for the next 15 years of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm out with my buddy John, right? And we're hanging there, sitting there. Just calls him a bum. So you know how John is. You know John.
Yeah, John. We all know. Yeah. Also, that Warriors team, if you'll remember, won 16 of the last 21. They had to win all 16 of those to make it to the playoffs that year. And the next season, they won 50 games and did not make the postseason. So, anyway, that's another good read. I highly recommend. But let's move off the Warriors because I just kind of bogarted all this.
Yeah. Jordan's starting to tear up a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to throw up.
I'm sorry, Jay. Let's keep it in Oakland, though. Marshawn Lynch
Beast Mode
is back in his hometown where he belongs. Beast Mode responsible for that amazing laugh. I absolutely love everything Marshawn Lynch related. I love his grill. He is Oakland in a nutshell. A lot of my friends from Oakland remind me of Marshawn Lynch, just much, much, much less successful. But he really is Oakland. And if there's any glimmer of hope for this Oakland franchise or for the fans, I'm not talking Raiders fans. I'm talking Oakland Raiders fans. This is it. This is the perfect farewell swan song. You have the most Oakland dude of all time who just took a year off of football, coming back refreshed behind that offensive line, who may be 1B if we're talking offensive lines. And the Raiders are looking nice this year. Derek Carr will be back.
Yep.
Amari Cooper, Crabtree. That offense is looking dope. And I'm just really, really excited for Raiders football this year. I'm not a Raiders fan, but I love anything Bay. Yada-da. I'm really excited for Raiders fans, and I just wanted to mention this because this is going to be great. I can't wait for post-game press conferences with Marshawn. And just every time he's on camera, it just brings
such joy to my heart, dude.
It really does. He's so great.
I wish the people out there listening could see my face right now. I am sick.
Why? Yeah,
because, like, I don't know. I feel like Marshawn's not going to be that great.
I don't even think that matters.
It should matter, though. Production is what matters. You sign a football player to play football.
Tell him that, because the one reporter that says you're not going to be that great, he's going to come out and rush for 2,000 yards and stiff-arm people bouncing off the turf.
But he's not, though.
The interesting thing that I'm seeing from this is all the contract talks, and they finally say that they're willing to negotiate and sign him. But granted, he makes close to $8 million if he gets signed next year. So they want to restructure that. I was listening today on ESPN Radio, and they said that that's going to be practically incentive based. You know, you're going to get like a Colin Kaepernick type deal where there's going to be a lot of this, you know, no signing bonus type stuff. You know, you perform and you get your paycheck. So I feel like that's the best way to go about it for him. And for Marshawn, I feel like this is, I mean, the money is just the icing on the cake for him. I mean, it is from everything that I've seen from Marshawn Lynch, this is his, not only the Oakland Raiders farewell tour, but this is his farewell tour. This is his way to go out. I mean, I don't see him going to Las Vegas in 2-3 years with him, you know? So I see it. And I mean, this is 2-3 years. The Raiders have a chance at a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? They definitely have the offense. The defense is getting there. Hopefully they can make some, you know, defensive back pickups, but.
I mean, the NFL is a fickle game, though, man.
No
you can
doubt.
You can be on top 1 year.
Right.
The 49ers are a perfect example. You could be on top 1 year and completely abysmal the next. So, you know, I'm excited for Marshawn Lynch. I love Marshawn Lynch. I love if you haven't seen that thing with him and Bear, the outdoorsman thing, him and Bear.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That
thing is ridiculous. Make sure you check that out. But
I'll see if I could cut some of that up for next week.
Yeah, I love everything about Marshawn Lynch as well. But I'm more going to wait to see what happens actually on the field before I get too excited.
Sure.
You know, especially not being from the Bay Area, it doesn't really...
Right, and having a year off, you know, a year is a long time in the NFL.
Exactly.
But I think it could help when you play that position, you play it the way Marshawn does, because he over and over again. That's the way he plays. So I'm excited for it. I hope he does have just a huge year. But even if he doesn't, it's just going to be good to see his gold smiling face on the sidelines. I'm happy for that.
Hopefully he steals a cart and ghost rides it around the field again.
Yes.
Something player.
I remember that Cal game. Then when they brought him back this year, he was ghost riding with E40, just whipping it all over. That was awesome. But want to get to another piece of news. We only have a few minutes left. I just thought this was funny because we were talking about potentially paying college athletes and kind of the absurdity that is college sports. So Texas football, a team that I root for, they got new lockers. Their lockers now include a 42-inch monitor instead of just having the, you know, monograph with their names. There's a 42-inch monitor with a video tribute to each and every player.
What?
That's pretty baller.
Oh yeah, it's real baller.
It's pretty baller.
These lockers.
Yeah, for the starters. What if you're a backup? What's that highlight tape going to be?
It's you in high school. Yeah,
me clapping, like
holding a clipboard, looking
ahead,
real
Chase.
Hard.
Yeah, go ahead, Jamal.
It's all practice highlights. It's you in shorts
just
and a helmet.
Threading the needle in practice. Though.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the shoulder.
Throwing
roll.
It through a tire.
There you go, Shane.
Yeah. But so these lockers cost $10,500 a piece. Which brings up the interesting question that hypothetical that I was kind of laughing about. I heard them talking about this on the Levitard show. If they ask the players, do you want a $10,500 locker or do you want a regular one and a check for $10,500? I think they're all going, give me that check.
Yeah. Give me that rusty locker that I could maybe get tetanus from.
That you just can't like sell if you like needed money or anything.
right.
Like if you do that, that's just like a fine. You're just gonna, like,
exactly.
Yeah, like you just can't get any type of money.
I just think
is there like a less upgraded version? Can I just get like the monitor taken out and just have like some like LED lights?
Give me
the
bronze
version. $5K. You know?
Let me get that extra money in my student account.
Man, I'm telling you, it's just ridiculous.
They should put more money into their head coach rather than their lockers.
I'll say it time and time and time again. The only reason we don't pay college players in this country. So we don't want to. There's no other viable argument that I've heard yet that, there's a million different ways of how we could go about it, but there's no reason we couldn't if we wanted to. We just don't want to. So I thought that was funny. Over the weekend, I also realized that, hey, Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job.
Wow.
Which is a little ridiculous.
Does he deserve a job? I mean,
yes.
in comparison to the people that who have jobs right now, he does. But in the long like standing of the NFL, does he really deserve a job?
Okay, yeah, so look at
it. And if he does deserve a job, is it as a starter or a backup?
Right.
He's a top 30 NFL quarterback.
You think 32 teams in the NFL.
I feel like
as a backup, you don't think he's a top 64 quarterback?
Oh, no, yeah, for sure.
Guaranteed top 64. The fact that he does not have at least a backup job in the NFL
is certain
ridiculous.
People aren't backup players. Like, you don't bring somebody who's been in the league 5-6 years to be a backup if he's not, like, the type of person that's going to be a backup. I don't see Kaepernick as a backup.
Well, he's better than whoever the Bears have right now. He's better than whoever Cleveland has right now. He's better than whoever the Texans have.
But
right
does
now.
The issues that come
he's better
with
than
him,
whoever the Jets have?
Do the
right
issues
now.
That come with him are
he's
they
better than
are they
whoever
better
the Niners
than
probably have right now?
You know what I'm saying? At least the backup for the Browns ain't kneeling down during the Pledge of
but
Allegiance.
But neither is Cap anymore.
But why? Yeah, but why still, should he? Still, that why should that him, not get him a job? Him.
That's still a part of him. I mean, shit. Why shouldn't black being black not get you a job? Or why should not being able to speak two languages get you a job? Just what it is.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's
yeah.
It's just what it is, and that's unfortunate, but that's just the game we play.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. He
we should start making t-shirts. Get Cap hired.
Get Cap
right.
on the bus.
Right, give Cap a job. Oh, man. And the final thing that I wanted to say is the Sharks are going to blow it again. I don't know if it's going to be in this round. I don't know if it'll be in the next round. I am wearing
nice
my...
Nice jacket, by the way. I
thank
saw
you.
That when I came in here.
I am
starters.
Rocking my starter Sharks jacket that I got in sixth grade that at the time I'm swimming in and now I could barely fit. But I didn't know when else I could jump on the bandwagon and it's actually going to be cold. So I decided, hey, today's a perfect day.
Hey, we got Joe Thornton back finally. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, hopefully we can make a little run at this.
The Sharks just always find a way to blow it. So
I don't know what it is. It's a curse, man.
It is brutal, man. Yeah. It's like the Red Sox before they finally broke through, man. It's, I mean, not nearly as long standing, but as consistent as a choke job
right.
that you can do in the right. playoffs as any team that I can really remember.
I got something quick to add.
Yes, please.
Do you think the Houston OKC series last night, you think that has any effect on the MVP race?
No, because the voting's already turned in.
Okay.
Ballot's already turned
yeah,
in.
I think, so. I think had it had. Had voters been able to turn it in at the end of this week? Yeah, at 100%. I don't know that it would completely swing it one way or the other, but I think it would impact it for sure.
Hmm.
I think Russ should still get it.
No, I think Russ should still get it, too.
I think it would be ridiculous.
But I feel bad for Harden not getting it.
Right, 3 years in a row,
because he's had three stupendous years where he could have warranted to get it every year.
Yeah, it's brutal for him, but, you know, Dennis breaks, kids.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us. Talking about practice, we'll be back next week, I assume.